Blog Talk Radio.
You are fake news.
You are fake news.
Maybe I didn't forget to do that. That's what I'm talking about. You are fake news. We all know it's true. I don't care how much they look at us in our faces trying to tell us something. Ah, man, we're fair and balanced news. We're here just to present the facts just as they are. Yeah, right. No, you're trying to create some facts. You're trying to force us to adopt your facts. And that is why they earn that title of fake news. Welcome to the show. Today is January the something merjigger, 19th. Yep, January the 19th. And the time is just going by, y'all, watching the days go by. And we are going to be looking at February pretty soon. And hopefully we'll be looking at a change in the guard real soon when it comes down to these Democrats. And who knows, even the president, because he stinks. I don't know if you saw his so-called press conference today, but yeah, it was pretty much what I expected. And so we're going to be talking a little bit about this current administration tonight and some other things, okay? But first, I want to welcome anybody to the show that has never watched me live. If you are new to my channel, make sure you hit the like button, share my videos, all of that stuff. Make sure you know what, Gizmo, you better stay still. If you knock my lighting over, it's going to be me and you. You don't have money to pay for it. Oh, if you don't know who Gizmo is, he's my little dog down here. He rides with me all the time. He's my road dog. He's my road dog. Okay. Here, let's go ahead and get him. He thought I was mad. He thought I was mad. This is Gizmo. This is Gizmo. Yes. I'm not mad. No, no. Daddy's not mad. Now, let's get focused. So make sure you subscribe to my channel and your button is set for all notifications because they will not tell you. So you got to kind of check on your own. So with that being said, y'all, if you do call in, feel free to press 1 and you can chit-chat with me live. As you see, the phone number in the back behind my big dome, Spider-Man chair. Wait a minute. There we go. Okay. Now, if you need it, just go ahead and say, hey, Kev, man, what's that number? Because I can't see. All right. And I'll go ahead and give it to you. Now, with that being said, let's get into the night's nonsense because we ain't got no time to waste. It's a whole heap of nonsense we got to talk about. Cut off. See, so we're going to go ahead and make sure we knock that out the way with the Wi-Fi. And if the Wi-Fi ain't working, then we switch back to the network. So, guys, these Democrats know they're in trouble. They know it. Their whole program platform is built around division. It's built around greed, corruption, selfishness, you name it. You probably can add a whole bunch of other, you know, adjectives in there that we all would shake into our head. Yeah, pretty much. And they're doing a lot of, like, cleanup right about now, it appears, because they realize they done stuck a full-blown puppet right in office. And the puppet has gone, I think, as far as he can go. So at this point, they're trying to just go ahead, save face, do a little bit of maintenance, come out to the mic, address the people, throw some garbage out there, and hope that their voters don't see through that doo-doo and still think it might be some chocolate. So I guess Nasty Pelosi is probably getting ready to go ahead and retire somewhere with her nice refrigerator and her ice cream and stuff. So she's starting to let some young man who I think is probably going to be the Speaker of the House whenever she retires, Hakeem, you know, just do another radical dude about there. You know, so I guess he came out and he was talking about Joe Biden. And he demands, y'all, he demands that we respect Joe Biden. Listen to this.
What specific actions has the Biden administration and Democrats taken over the past year that do you think are the most meaningful to American lives?
Now, if you didn't hear the question, y'all, she asked, what have the Biden administration done over the past year that has been meaningful to American lives? Let's run that back. Hold on. Let me make sure.
What specific actions has the Biden administration and Democrats taken over the past year that do you think are the most meaningful to American lives?
Well, President Biden has had a very good year under incredibly difficult circumstances.
Y'all hear that, brother? Choosing his words carefully. President. Oh, shoot. Why they put me in this? Biden has. He's going to go ahead and adopt the Nancy Pelosi monkey paw technique. He's giving me some of this right about now. Trying to distract me with that man monkey paw. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see this hand doing this and going to witch away. So now he's sitting there pausing, thinking hard, just like all of us have been doing. Whenever you ask somebody who voted for Biden, what has he done? Same reaction. President Biden has, okay. All right, now wait, what'd you say? What was the question? Oh, you know the question. So let's hear him go ahead and fudge his way through this, okay? Because now he's talking about took on a tough situation. Here we go.
Has had a very good year.
He does? He did? What? How can you say that?
Are the most meaningful to American life.
Listen to this.
Well, President Biden has had a very good year.
Says who?
Under incredibly difficult circumstances.
Now, see, all of that is news to me. Nothing about this dude here have been good. And the circumstances were hard because he made them hard. What is wrong with these? You know what? Once again, it comes down to we know our voters don't follow politics that much. They don't understand how we have inflicted all this pain upon ourselves. Okay, if you're that person that's skateboarding, jumping off of the sides of buildings, and you break your leg, don't be talking about it was a very difficult circumstance. That bar that I landed on, it was oily, and caused me to break my... No, you caused yourself to break your own leg because you thought you can skateboard down a rail. That's what happened. So all of these folks now that's talking about it was very hard, difficult circumstances I inherited. No, you inherited a fine oiled machine. It was the Democrats who pushed endless lockdowns. It was the Democrats who did everything they could to destroy our economy, shutting down all the small businesses. It was the Democrats who focused on identity politics instead of the needs of all the American people. It was the Democrats who invoked all of these lockdowns that caused folks to walk off their gig, slowing down the whole supply chain. It was the Democrats who borrowed all that money, and now inflation's going up. Democrats who removed all of Trump's policies that shut down that border being wide open. Democrats, it was them who caused all of these circumstances. Trump handed it over, really, they took it. On a silver platter, the vaccine was here. If they wouldn't have tried to use the vaccine in COVID for political gain and control, they would have been better off. If they would have just said, hey, listen up, man, we're going to go ahead and provide this vaccine for y'all. If you want it, go get it. It's on y'all. Now, let's move forward with our economy. It was the Democrats who shut down the Keystone Pipeline, made sure that we didn't have control of our own natural resources and stuff like that. Democrats. It was Creepy Sleepy who decided to snatch us out of Afghanistan without no warning, no nothing, no plan. He did that mess like he was a mad king, like some king that just woke up bipolar. Today we will pull all of our troops out of England. And then all of a sudden, it collapses, fairly up, and he's like, I had to do it. It was a success. Democrats. Now, this fool got to go ahead and try to lie to us with a straight face. Listen to this.
6.4 million good-paying jobs have been created during Joe Biden's first year.
Lies, all lies, lies, man. So you're talking about those jobs that folks stepped down from because they were, you know, I mean, y'all rolled out the COVID thing. I mean, you're giving out free money for a whole year. Shoot, why not? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about you. I mean, you know, they're dropping all kind of cheese on you. You might as well ride it out. And then you got used to sitting at the crib. It's tough, man, to redesign your whole sleeping pattern, circadian rhythm on. Yeah, used to going out on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, because every day is a weekend. Never on Monday. Sunday's too soon. Tuesday and Wednesday just won't do. Thursday and Friday, we can begin, because my Saturday does. We'll never end. Sugar. Yeah. People's kicking it on their dime. So now, as they go back to work, these knuckleheads are trying to pretend we created those jobs. We created them. Uh-huh. What else?
That's a presidential record. The American Rescue Plan.
The only record that man has broken was becoming the most unpopular president of all times. He also broke a record on how someone can take something that is so big and powerful and destroy it in record-breaking time. That is about the only record that man has broken. Okay. Now, here comes the kipper.
Was passed.
Okay.
Let's put some respect on Joe Biden's name. President Biden has had a very good first year.
Ooh, you kiss it. Sweeter than honey. That man wants some R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Find out what Joe means to me. Joe don't mean nothing to me. Joe, when I think of him, I think of everything opposite of what this man has done. I think of all the things he's destroyed. I think of all of the division that this man has caused. I think of all of the comedy that he done brought to me because he sucks. However, I also think of the image that our enemies have when they look at him. I think of all the progress we made that has just been rolled back in record-breaking time. I think of how he has allowed whoever's controlling him to throw this power grab on all of us. That's what I think of. I think of all of the speeches this man has made where it just makes me cringe, and we're about to hear one in a few minutes that already wore my green, okay, so I ain't going to have to turn green because I came with the green this time. I came with the green. So with that being said, y'all, listen to this lady right here because, see, now the Republicans, they're coming out and they're making some speeches there in front of Congress. And I don't even know this lady's name. I know she's an elderly lady from, I guess, maybe Indianapolis. But the clip, I didn't even look up, but she's a Republican from, I think, Indianapolis. If y'all know who she is, if y'all recognize her voice, let me know. But you know what? Even though she's a little elderly, she made me get all funny on the inside. Listen to this.
Used many words to describe President Biden's first full year in office, but the one that comes to mind immediately is incompetence. There's a blueprint for the economic and societal ruin that has stabbed America in its back for a year. This administration is the architect of that blueprint. Inflation has skyrocketed to its highest level in 40 years.
Man, grandma's giving this man and his crew some truth. That's why I love old people. Elderly people keeps it 100% real, with the exception of the Democrat elderly folks. Those politicians lie to the day they die. That's right, man. They like, man, I'm going to lie till I die. Okay? Nasty Pelosi on her last breath. One more lie for the road. I'm pretty sure she'll drop one out there. But this lady, looking like Tweety Bird's grandmother, is keeping it real. Here we go.
Job creators have faced innumerable setbacks that have threatened their livelihoods.
And how?
The ever-growing federal bureaucracy has metastasized like a cancer.
Yep.
Parents have been targeted by the FBI and DOJ in what can only be described as a wave of new age McCarthyism that's been spun by this administration.
How you getting beat up by this old lady, man? This old lady came out with that cane.
You boys better get out of my line. You
giving it to him. Don't stop, Grammy. I can kick it with her, man. She could come and kick it in the corner, man. I'm loving her. Drop some more of that.
The southern border has all but collapsed due to gross mismanagement. The list goes on and on. Simply put, the policies and actions of this administration mirror the agenda of political arsonists. No matter how ambitious or forward-thinking the Biden administration tries to bill itself as.
Y'all hear her stress that? tries to present itself as. Get him, Granny. Get him. Don't stop, man. She ain't finished with him, all right? All right, skin that cat.
It cannot shake the stench of incompetence that surrounds every initiative it heads up. Socialism is no longer an ominous shadow on the horizon. This administration has brought it to our doorstep.
Woo! She's hot. Can't touch her, man. She is hot. So I'm wondering why Hakeem Jeffries, who just told us to respect Joe Biden, and when they asked him about all the things that Joe has done to better our lives, he didn't mention none of that stuff right there. Maybe Hakeem didn't hear Granny. So that's why I have to play Granny. She got to discipline that whippersnapper, okay? That snotty-nosed whipper needs to listen to Granny. Okay, finish, Granny.
This great country must be saved from the ruin that this administration has created.
The ruin.
Republicans will be the ones to save it. Republicans will be the ones to safeguard the values and freedoms that have always defined America. Republicans will be the ones to turn this country around and deliver for the American people. When we retake the House of Representatives and the Senate this year, that's precisely what we will do. Americans demand it, and we will act. I yield back.
That's right, Granny. Granny just dropped it. Made me serenade her butt. Yeah, that's right, Granny. Oh, yeah. And if you will worry about me, out in a room I saw before, what club I went to with my homie. Baby, don't worry, you know that you got me, Granny. Granny dropping it like it's hot, y'all. She came out and said it's going to be Republicans that are store this mess, clean up this mess. Now, I will say this. It will take some time because they, unfortunately, have done a number on our country, y'all, a number. We now are looking at Putin acting a fool. Old man Teddy just came in here a little bit ago. He's like, man, look like we might be going to war. I said, yep. At this point, who knows? I'm not shocked by anything. All these folks who wanted Joe in, you got him. Uh-huh. I noticed, though, that Putin wasn't acting a fool under Trump. I noticed that Kim Jong-un ceased shooting rockets off under Trump. Yeah. I noticed that Iran was just doing nothing but selling wolf tickets under Trump. Yeah, but for some reason, everybody's acting a fool now. Y'all want it? You got it. And these Democrats aren't done yet. So let's go ahead and finish beating them up, because here's somebody else that was in Congress, and he was highlighting the stellar record of the Joe Biden administration. Here we go.
Today, at least on one question, Americans are more united than ever before.
What?
This week, as we mark the one-year mark of the Biden presidency, the vast majority of the American people agree that the Biden presidency has been a failure.
Oh.
After 1 year in office, President Biden...
So he finally united us, y'all. Joe did it, y'all. He did it. He said, I'm going to bring these people together. I'm going to restore the soul. I'm bringing back unity. That's one thing we're united on. This dude sucks. You know the song. Let's go, Brandon. Let's go, Brandon. Yeah, he done united us all right. But let's finish. Here we go.
Biden's approval rating is the lowest ever recorded after the first year in office.
That's a record.
Of any president in American history.
Hmm.
Why is no mystery? By every measure, Americans are worse off today than when Biden took office. Inflation, crime, the debt, the border, Afghanistan, a never-ending pandemic. Americans have endured humiliation abroad and division at home. And all of these disasters are man-made. Everyone knows why inflation is at a 40-year high. Everyone knows why Americans' wages have been cut by 3% or more. Democrats spent trillions and then passed the largest federal budget in history.
Maybe they didn't read their own record. Maybe Hakeem Jeffries didn't come out with that list of failures before he had the nerve to tell people, this president deserves respect. You get no respect for that record. I'm not going to give you an A for awful. That's what you get. You get an A for awful. That's about it, man. So this guy right here has been stinking it up, and Hakeem Jeffries is asking with a very gentle quiver in his voice. Notice that. He did not seem very confident when they asked that question. This president, yeah, he didn't seem confident because guess what? He knows these Democrats have stunk it up. They've played their last card, which was take it by force. That was their last card. Yeah, our policies suck. We have fumbled every single time we were handed the ball. We're probably going to get our faces smashed in 2022. So let's do this. Let's go ahead and just destroy the whole system so that we can rig it and stay in power, even if everybody in America despises us. See? And then they will have the media come out and lie to us and say, they're very popular. Look at them. They're still winning elections. How? Huh? Yet once you rig the joint, of course you're going to win elections. That don't mean you won them. That doesn't mean folks are going, yeah, we love them. No, we're all scratching our heads like, how did they win again? How did they keep winning? They stink. But that's what they try to do.
How, in less than a year, did we go from energy independence to begging Saudi Arabia for oil? Well, maybe it has something to do with the president banning new natural gas production in the United States.
You see,
the media wants to make things complicated. Uh-huh. They want you to believe that no one really knows why you're paying close to $4 per gallon at the pump.
Know.
They want to separate the consequences of the last year from its cause.
Yeah.
But don't be fooled, Madam Speaker. There's a border crisis because the Biden administration stopped building the wall, cut deportations by 90%, and reversed every single one of President Trump's successful border enforcement measures.
Now, see, you know what, y'all? Just hearing that makes me want to get so high, and I don't even take drugs. See, that's enough to make you go looking on the streets like, anybody got some drugs? I need them. I just sat there and heard this man say they cut deportations by 90%. And yet, I saw Joe on TV today trying to tell us, well, when I was a vice president, I would go down there and I would give money, lots of money, so that they could figure out why they keep coming. He knows why they're coming. That is why Kamala Chameleon Harris was set up for failure, even pretending like they were going to try to address the border matters. Because the whole goal was not to address the border matters. She was doomed to fail that because the goal was not to succeed. The goal was to get as many in here as we can before the American people get so mad that they chase us out of office. And by that time, we'll have enough in here to where it won't even matter. That's right. We'll let them vote by, of course, you know, getting rid of that voter ID requirement. No four last digits for a mail-in. Getting that fill the buster up out of here. And that failed. So now all of a sudden they're like, oh, shoot, run for your lives. The whole ship is sinking, but there's more about this stellar record. Finish, gentlemen.
Fentanyl is now the leading cause of deaths for Americans age 18 to 45 because it, too, is pouring across a wide open southern border. It's that simple. Crime immediately shot up after Democrats' anti-police riots.
Wow.
Because of Democrats' anti-police riots. There are still hundreds of Americans stranded in Afghanistan because the Biden administration didn't prioritize its own citizens.
Now, why wasn't I in that press conference today when creepy, sleepy, slimy, sleazy, sloppy Joe was up here trying to fumble his way all the way through it, okay? Even some of them questions were softball. They didn't follow up. They didn't push the bar. All of this stuff that this man is reading off, they should have all been questions and not just take that first response. Some of the stuff he was just saying, because I was so upset, I sat there, well, you know what are you going to do about Yemen? Huh? What are you going to do about Yemen? I mean, you said you were going to shut all that down. I mean, are you going to do it and when? Well, the situation in Yemen, we're looking at it. It's complicated, but we're looking at it. All right, next question. No follow-up. No follow-up. I need a press pass, y'all. I need Kevin's Corner, a press pass. I go in there with my army fatigue. They know I come in there for business. I come in with a full-blown band that I done rented. The marching band and everything. I come in with my stick and all of that, man. They ain't going to sit down like Kevin's Corner here right about now to do business. I would let this dude have it. They would bunny hop all over me because they know I'd be sitting there on the edge of my seat like, oh, not the black guy. He's coming here to destroy me. Somebody else. Yeah, they would look at that little paper that they give Joe, see me on there with a big old X. Because you know Joe, he needs it nice and simple. Okay, Joe, he's the only black guy on the paper. That big X means don't call him. I thought the X means call on them. Yeah, right? We're playing tic-tac-toe, aren't we? Anyway, let's continue.
For evacuation. President Biden's COVID policies do not work. That's why COVID cases, hospitalizations, and deaths all rose during the Biden presidency. Americans endured mandatory vaccinations, pointless mask mandates, endless school closures, and never-ending Dr. Fauci interviews.
Oh, you know what? Right about now, this is music to my ears. It's like fine dining right about now. I'm listening to this man like swashing it around in my mouth. That's lovely. That's lovely. Continue, please. It's like I'm listening to a symphony, y'all. It's just beautiful. Listen to this, y'all.
And it was all for nothing. Americans can see what's in front of them. That's why they've rejected this administration. The proof is in the pudding, and the pudding is stale. The question is, can Americans endure 3 more years just like the last one?
Heck no.
I believe that they can, but they shouldn't have to. That's why the Republican Study Committee is here tonight. We will hold the Biden administration accountable every step of the way. We will make sure that the past year of crises and catastrophes never repeats itself.
Now, I hear what he's saying, and I'm going to tell you right now, I need more. I need more out of these Republicans. Granted, lots of talk. They're able to identify problems. But you got to understand, y'all, the Democrats have shown their hand. If they get power again, if they get back in power ever again, they're coming back for round two, y'all. They thought they could pull this mess off and we still ain't out of the hot water. But I guarantee you, if these Republicans take back the House and the Senate and they don't put some stuff in place to block all of that garbage, and you mess around and flub it up again and let these darn Democrats get back in power, you know what they're capable of. That's what kills me, man. When I sat back and I watched our so-called Republicans see all the writing on the wall of these Democrats doing you know what during November, when I sat back and I said, okay, y'all all in the House of Representatives, the Senate, when they was all in there in that so-called insurrection took place, and all of these Republicans came back out there, the rhinos revealed that they were rhinos, and I'm thinking to myself, y'all are willing to just roll over that easily? Because we're about to find out what really took place on that interesting day. And I wonder why we're not getting to the bottom of it. Because if I'm a Republican that came in there and I had the intent of challenging the results, I wouldn't have let some raggedy little so-called insurrection change my mind just like that. I mean, heck, we came right back to work. So obviously it couldn't have been that bad. But yet they come back in there like they fed up. Like it was, oh man, that's it. That's right. Yeah, this is an outrage. Now there, you know what? Let's go ahead and just go and solidify this garbage. They need to be gone. Because this is what we get when we do not have good Republicans that represent the people. Listen to this.
In fact, Dr. King was just one of those young people, 15-year-old student in Morehouse College when he began his journey to fulfill the promise of America for all Americans. A promise that holds that we're all created equal and deserve to be treated equally throughout our lives. Dr. King wasn't just a dreamer of that promise. He was a doer. And on this federal holiday that honors him, it's not just enough to praise him. We must commit to his unfinished work to deliver jobs and justice, to protect the sacred right to vote, the right from which all other rights flow. The attack on our democracy is real, from the January 6th insurrection to the onslaught of Republicans' anti-voting laws in a number of states. It's no longer just about who gets to vote. It's about who gets to count the vote.
Y'all hear that garbage? This is what you get. This is what you get. Let's use Dr. King. Knew it, man. They are the pander party. Drinking that panderation. Constant. So now he is using Dr. King to justify a power grab and to try to equate Dr. King's struggle and plight so that we could have equal voting rights to these dudes trying to roll back voting rights so that they can obtain and retain power. It's crazy to me that they would throw that name out there in the same conversation. Talking about some Dr. King fought for this. No, he didn't fight for this crap. You know, honestly, he really wasn't too keen on these Democrats. And somebody else who saw through it, he was a little more radical. But that was Malcolm X. He said the most dangerous thing is the white liberal. Y'all heard it. The most dangerous thing is the white liberal. Okay? At least the Republican will come up to you and they'll let you know what they thinking. But those liberals smile in your face all the time. They want to take your place. So now here he is. Got the nerve to be up here grinning with those crocodile teeth. And when a crocodile smiles, it ain't smiling. So he's trying to pretend he's on our side, y'all. Dr. King, y'all, listen to what he say.
And whether your vote counts at all. It's about two insidious things. Voter suppression and election subversion.
As they are doing exactly what he is accusing conservatives of. Voter suppression and voter subversion. They're evil. This one took a lot out of me, y'all. That's why in my title I put, you know what? Buck Wild. Buck Wild. So this is the party. Now, see, you would have thought they would learn. They got their stuff shot down. They got Christian Sinema and they got Joe Manchin shut it down. You had the liberal media going in on them all week. Like, I mean, this is the worst week ever. And you would think they would go ahead and check the temperature and say, Americans don't want to hear all of this division. They don't want to hear y'all grab the mic constantly talking about some voter suppression, black folks can't get IDs and all of this. Nobody wants to hear that. Why in the world aren't they listening to the public? Why? Because it's not about the public. It is about their goal and agenda. That's it. Because if it was about the public and if it was about black folks overwhelmingly says, we are okay with voter IDs. So then what are you doing? You're sitting back pretending that we're the ones that came to y'all. Excuse me, Democrats. You know what? We feel like we ain't able to vote. First of all, we don't know how to go find out where to even get those IDs. I heard about something called the internet, and I'm still trying to figure it out. I was banging on it the other day, but I couldn't figure it out. And so, yeah. And then all of a sudden, I went and got my ID, and then they said, we don't give them to black people. We don't give them to black people. And then I was told, and they said, get on out of here, boy. That's what they had told me. So will y'all help me? Nobody's doing that. So then why are they bringing it up? If we're not saying it's a problem, why are they bringing it up? And they govern like this across the board. How many women do you all know that needed 9 months for an abortion? Even if you were, you know, pro-choice or pro-abortion, 9 months, I didn't know that was a problem. I've never heard a woman come out of nowhere and just say, man, you know what? They should extend the time for women to get an abortion up to 9 months and beyond. That right there goes against mother instincts. By that time, you are in it to win it. I don't know too many people that are sane that will go 9 months and be okay with aborting a baby. But yet these fools, out of nowhere, brings this up. And I'm thinking to myself, I didn't know this was a problem. Are people coming to y'all, or are y'all simply saying, we're going to create the perception that people are mad about this? They are wicked. And then you get this mush mouth, monkey paw, hands, nasty Pelosi, marble mouth. Listen to her Martin Luther King speech, y'all.
Democracy, because nothing less is at stake than our democracy. This is about suppressing the vote.
It is about that. The funny thing about this, it goes the other way. She's sitting there like, this is exactly what we're doing. We are trying to destroy your democracy. We're trying to suppress your vote. And now the monkey paw hands going in which way? And guess who she has behind her? Two black women. Oh, wow. The visual of that. I wonder why she picked two black women. Didn't even pick a man. All right, pick two black women. Okay, so let's finish him from Nasty Pelosi, okay?
It's about nullifying the elections, which Dr. King talked about that day. Nullifying the election. It's about just doing so many things to be obstacles to participation. That's wrong. The truth is, that's wrong. And this family and John Lewis, and so beautifully that this bill is named for him, but the first bill... He wrote the first 300 pages, now called Freedom to Vote. And as has been indicated by...
And then don't forget Boy George. Okay. He died for us. Thank you, Boy George, for your sacrifice. Oh, wait. What was it again? Hold on. Wait a minute. I have to refresh my memory. Oh, yeah. That's good, Nancy. That's what... Oh, let's go. Back to George Michael. Okay, let's continue.
By the King family, this bill is supported by all of the Democrats, House and Senate.
And the Senate.
It's just a filibuster, in a way. So, in a way...
It's stopping us for eternal power. That's what it is. That filibuster is in our way, along with that pesky Constitution. That's right. Now, let's continue. Wait a minute. I need some juice. That's my medicine. That's good, Nancy. Now, where was I? Okay, George of the Jungle. Here it is.
If you really, truly want to honor Dr. King, don't dishonor him by using a congressional custom as an excuse for protecting our democracy.
Can you believe this nasty? And I mean it more than I've ever meant it. I know I joke. I know I call her Nasty Pelosi. But I've never meant it more than right now. This nasty woman had the nerve to just say, listen to that. She used Dr. King to justify what they are doing here.
Dr. King, don't dishonor him
Don't dishonor him by using him. Commit a power grab. Boy, I want to reach in that nasty mush mouth and snatch that whole grill straight out. I want her out there gumming it. Don't stay out here. All those bad boys gone. Unbelievable, man. Now, here's the funny part about this. Dr. King's niece, she don't support these fools. She see through them and her daughter. I mean, you know, you're talking about, if I was one of his family members and I heard these fools up here talking like this, don't dishonor Dr. King. Bye. And then she got the nerve.
A congressional custom.
Congressional custom. So now all of a sudden you want to abolish the filibuster, blow up the filibuster, talking about congressional custom. It ain't just custom. That's been around for like 250 years. And now all of a sudden it's just a custom. It's just a custom. But yet all of those customs that y'all claim Trump was trying to destroy, he's trying to roll back all of our customs, our norms. And things like that. And now she's trying to downplay the seriousness of getting rid of the filibuster all because she wants power. But they just don't learn. See, it's someone up there that is listening to this chick and thinks that her real goal is to honor Dr. King. And I'm mad that these two black women are standing behind her shaking their head. They should all be grabbing her and taking her off with her arm behind her back. sitting up here co-signing this garbage, and you know she is so disingenuous. She don't care about Dr. King. She don't care about George Kirby. She don't care about none of them. She cares about power. That is it. And got the nerve to throw Dr. King in there.
As an excuse for protecting our democracy.
As they are using him as an excuse to destroy our democracy.
We have no right to honor this family, to visit the monument. Imagine 36 years old, left this earth in such a way that he has a monument on the mall along with Abraham Lincoln.
And you know what? Next week they might be trying to tear down Abraham Lincoln's statue. They disgust me. They use these things only when they're trying to connect with the patriotism and stuff, Abraham Lincoln and George Washington. And next week, if a small group of people start saying those statues represent racism and patriotism, we want it torn down, she'll support that too. She'll support that. Uh-huh. So now she wants to use it. She wants to use it. Here we go.
George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, all of them with tears in their eyes for the departure from our democracy that is happening right now, unless the truth is acknowledged and this legislation is passed.
Any thoughts on that, y'all? I mean, can you get more disgusting than that? To come out there and throw Dr. King out there with the efforts of trying to pass this bill, I am so close to, I got to pray, y'all. Y'all got to lay hands on the screen. Y'all going to have to keep me lifted up in prayer because I'm trying not to look at her with real deep-seated, you know, no hate in her heart. Hold on, wait, let me take a break. Heavenly Father, release me of this anger from this nasty, disgusting woman. And her whole party, listen to this idiot. Next idiot throws who right in there with Dr. King?
But even Dr. King's assassination did not have the worldwide impact that George Floyd's death did.
Their pandering has no bounds. Their corruption, their manipulation, their identity, even George Floyd's death had more impact than Dr. King. That just goes to show you how much they honor Dr. King. You slide him in there with George Floyd, and you wonder why he is the worst president of all time. And then there's more. Listen to how the Democrats are responding to folks that don't agree with them abolishing the filibuster, even people on their squad. Let's see what type of rhetoric they're using. And they think this crap is what Americans want to hear.
Every day that Senator Sinema and Senator Manchin side with a Republican Party that has been hijacked by MAGA enthusiasts and conspiracy theorists is another day the forces seeking to undermine our democracy get even stronger.
Yep. Can anybody throw up for me? I done threw up all my guts. I need somebody to help me. So here this chick is up here. Now they got to go after their own. I told you, they're only loyal to you if, for whatever reason, you stay loyal to them. Soon as you break rank, they'll throw you up under the bus, call you a racist, all of that stuff. So instead of Kristen Sinema and Joe Manchin really supporting the American people and our way of doing things, she somehow confines them to supporting those MAGA people. Mm-hmm. That's right. But they're not here to divide. No, they're here to unite. That's what they're here to do, right? Listen to this.
Yeah, look, the people like Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema, these are the white people that Martin Luther King Jr. warned us about.
See, this is a black dude. This is the Professor Clump dude on MSNBC with that big old cotton ball sitting on top of his head, that big gray afro that's making him look like he's about 85 years old, okay, with no neck. I'm looking at a suit with just a milk nut sitting right up on top of that mug like that, with that big old afro, looking like a bunny in a bush. And yet his butt got the nerve out this right here, Joe Manchin. Do you think this is going to motivate them to change their mind? Do you think that calling them racist and these are kind of white people and all of this, you think that's going to make them go, yeah, well, you know what? I didn't see it that way. I didn't know I was a racist. I didn't know that, so I'm going to go ahead and switch it up. These folks bully, manipulate, use all of these hot, heated topics to divide and muscle folks into doing what they want them to do. They disgust me, man. I want to jump all on that afro and go to scratching and biting and all of that mess. Let's finish hearing this disgusting human.
These are the white liberals who have no sense of urgency, commitment, or integrity when it comes to the progress of justice in the country. And that's just a fact. I don't know if they can live with themselves with that, but that is...
I just don't get it. How do you let these evil folks on TV? This man, I don't know if they can live with themselves, but, you know, it's just a fact. Do you know them? Have you had a conversation with these people? Huh? No? Oh, okay, because see, your job with your big nasty tail is to get out there and prostitute yourself and to say whatever you got to say. And ain't nobody buying you for no prostitute, okay? You don't look like nobody want to touch you with a 10-foot pole. And this idiot I have, it's just a fact. You know what I mean? These people, I don't know how they live with themselves. Do they think that works? Let's continue.
That is the reality of the situation.
And so Republicans are not going to confront Trump. They're going to do whatever they're told. They don't have the spine to stand up against him. So we're in a difficult position. We have two Democrats, Manchin and Sinema, and they are holding up the Democratic agenda. They have decided that they are going to stick with support of the filibuster.
Someone go get me a wheelbarrow with mud so I can throw it on Mad Max. Wheezy Jefferson out there, Georgia. Now here she is, off the leash. They done gave her a platform to go out there and trash her own party members and make it appear that, they're rejecting abolishing the darn filibuster because, they deep-seated racists or something. Listen to the implications, the things that they are trying to insinuate. When you start getting up there and saying things like this.
And they don't care whether or not they undermine the rights of minorities and blacks in this country. You know, blacks have fought very hard to make this a stronger democracy.
And you're trying to tear it down. Folks like this, they're not down with the struggle. They're not for the movement. They know this has nothing to do with democracy. It has something to do with their power. And yet here she is out here talking about some blacks have fought so hard to, and I'm thinking, no. See, we've gotten to this point and y'all are trying to take us back to where we started from. This is the same woman who's swarping down that those Border Patrol were down there whipping those Haitians. And it was worse than slavery. And somehow, some network allowed this fool to get back up there and throw some more vomit up on their screen. She might as well have just came out, grabbed the mic, and vomited all over. That would have been the same as what she just said.
We feel like it. Yes, that's very inspiring. We're talking to Maxine Waters. She just vomited all over the mic, and we get the point.
Because it's the same as what she just said. So now, all of a sudden, the woman who is constantly talking about black people are victims, white people are racist, and you know what, we're still in that struggle. And here she is talking about Joe Manchin and them are trying to take us back.
We've worked very hard for equal rights. We've worked very hard for civil rights and voting rights. And these two are basically saying to us they don't care.
That's what I want to do. I want to jump over. I feel like dang on Eddie Murphy, Charlie Murphy, when he was on that Dave Chappelle joint at Yo Cow. That's how I feel. I feel like Rick James. I want to go to every one of their cribs, step in some mud, get on their couch, Yo Couch. That's how I feel. This chick up here talking about, yes, and then, you know what, and they know that she's just freestyling. Anything can come in her mind. You know what? Racism, sexism, xenophobia. And you know, I could have swore I saw Joe Manchin outside of my mansion trying to whip me last night. And I said, no more whipping, okay? And no more wire hangers.
That's what she's doing. She's just up there like, let me open my big mouth and let vomit come out.
They don't care about us. They don't care what it means.
They're horrible, y'all. All I want to say is that they don't really care about us.
Enough is enough of this garbage.
That's what I'm saying. Democrats, man, I hope they lose power for the rest of eternity.
Our ability to participate in this democracy. And what everybody better understand is this democracy is at stake. And these domestic terrorists are organizing. The president is helping them in the way that he speaks to them. He's helping them in the way that he encourages them.
Straight freestyling. Straight freestyling and lying while she's doing it, y'all. Wow. I tell you, man, MSNBC. That's MSNBC, y'all. Yeah, we'd like you to come on here unabated. We're not going to ask one question. We're just going to turn on your mic and sit back and let you go ahead and say whatever. And the president, I could have swore I saw him with a pipe bomb on him, and he's still out there, and he's saying to all of these white folks, it's time to rise up and kill all black people. I'm pretty sure I saw him on that horse down there when they was down there in, down in Hawaii whipping all of them Haitians. I'm pretty sure I saw Trump on that horse whipping those Haitians. And they just sit back there in this, well, there you have it, Mad Max. Thank you for coming on the show.
And so we're in for it. So I would love to be able to come out of that Senate with the votes for voting rights, but it's going to be very difficult, if not impossible.
2 years ago.
Boy, I tell you, man. Thank God we got through that. Now we got to move into some other nonsense. Give me a sec. It's real hard, y'all. See, that's that strong nonsense. See, that's that kind. If you take too much of it at once, man, you don't want to take that nonsense to the head right there. I gave y'all a heavy dose of nonsense. Right now, y'all might have a nonsense high. You got to let that go through your system. Flush it out with some water and some lemon and stuff. Okay. Now, let's get to some more nonsense because the Dems ain't done. The Dems are not done. Coming to the mic, y'all, we got more topics to talk about. Jim Jordan is now bringing up some stuff concerning Dr. Funky Fauci. And, of course, not only the Democrats, but the liberal media, who for some reason wants to implement some type of tyranny, medical tyranny. Why are they for that? Let's see.
So this month, Dr. Fauci has put on notice that the virus most likely came from a lab that was doing gain-of-function research.
Oh.
He gets a letter on January 31st, 10:32 p.m., 2020. He gets an email, from Dr. Christian Anderson that says, the virus looks engineered, virus not consistent with evolutionary theory. Dr. Fauci goes into complete overdrive to cover this information up and not present it to the American people. He organizes a conference call the next day with Fauci, Collins, and 11 virologists from around the world on that call.
Okay.
Dr. Gary on that call says this,
what?
I don't know how this happens in nature, but it would be easy to do in a lab. 4 days later, those people who express those sentiments start to change their position. They write a piece in Nature Medicine magazine on February 16th. It first gets published online. That piece is then cited on February 9th, 2020, in the now famous letter in The Lancet. That becomes the gospel that this thing, according to Fauci and this group, didn't come from a lab. All that happens in 20 days. So they go from this thing looks engineered, this thing is not consistent with evolutionary theory, this thing could not have happened in nature, this thing would be easy to do in a lab, to completely changing their position. And here's the kicker.
What's the kicker?
The two guys who said those things, Dr. Anderson and Dr. Gary, 3 months later, rewarded with an $8.9 million grant from Dr. Fauci to continue to do research on coronavirus.
So, I smell a rat. That's what I smell. I smell Funky Fauci, his hand in all of this. So let me get this straight. These other well-renowned scientists disagreed with all of these narratives that it was made in a lab. It just happened. All take place over right by that lab, okay, from one bat, okay, that we ain't been able to find or duplicate. That one bat had the magic COVID gene, I guess. That's one precious bat. That bat is a bad bat, man. So out of all the bats in the world that don't even really exist over in that area, somehow they wandered into that, and somehow just came out of here, all coincidence. And then when these folks look at that and say, man, this crap didn't come from no animal, man. It looked like it was man-made. Hey, listen, Dr. Fauci, you want to continue your research? Look, tell you what. And all of a sudden, they just changed their opinion. And then miraculously get funding, which, of course, probably included a wonderful salary for them, too. I am starting to think that we might have a little corruption problem. I'm just saying. But then to not only, now you think Mad Max was bad, y'all? Now understand what we're talking about here. We're talking about medical tyranny, in a sense, trying to force everybody to do this, suppressing information so that citizens aren't able to make educated decisions, going ahead, demonizing all of the other folks that got alternative information, using the power of the federal government and then idiots like you're about to hear. Listen to this garbage.
We have a lot of breaking news on the COVID front, including the U.S. Supreme Court siding with the virus today by blocking the Biden administration's rule requiring vaccine mandates for companies employing more than 100 people. But the court...
Kevin Smash! So Joy Reid.
We got the Supreme Court today siding with the virus.
Siding with the virus. Man, I tell you. So she's supposed to be a commentator. She's supposed to be someone who's honoring the law. It's funny how when folks, for some reason, in power, just, go through a procedure, the process, and honor the darn Constitution, when it doesn't fit their narrative, all of a sudden, you just come out instead of saying they're honoring the Constitution and our individual liberties, instead of saying that, you sided with the virus. You didn't side with the people. You didn't side with the overwhelming amount of Americans that's saying we don't want to be forced to have to do stuff. No, you didn't side with that. You sided with the virus. And hopefully, by me using this type of inflammatory, demonizing language, it'll force y'all to reverse your decision for some reason. What's it to you, Joy? Huh? Get your butt vaccinated. Stay in the house if you want. Wear a whole helmet. It ain't got nothing to do with you. But why are you so invested, y'all? That's what I want to know. Why are you so invested in forcing this upon Americans and upon the whole world? Listen, there's more, y'all.
The court said a separate mandate requiring vaccinations for an estimated 20 million healthcare workers can be enforced. This comes the day President Biden stepped up his response to the Omicron surge, pledging to provide Americans with free tests and masks.
See, now you ask yourself, how can y'all get on TV with a straight face and say you're not fake news? So now here she is touting Biden's stepping it up with the more testing that takes about 12 days to get to you. See, she left that part out. Those tests should have been here, but nonetheless, go ahead. Call. Try to get through. We're going to keep you online for about 17 days. If you're suffering from a real emergency, call 911. Other than that, you can leave your number. We'll call you back, let you know when you can get a test. By the time it gets to you, like, man, I don't need it now. I'm good. Drink some tea, some zinc, stuff like that. I'm better. So she didn't mention that.
He's also sending 120 military medical personnel to six states where hospitals have been overrun by cases. You know, and Neil, I have to say, I don't have faith in the Supreme Court. I think they are ideologues. I think they are right-wing ideologues. I think they are sort of doing sort of a Christian nationalist version of, you know, whatever it is the Supreme Court used to do. But, you know, I just look at the numbers. You know, Biden talked today about United Airlines. I mean, the administration had made an estimate that the mandate would result in 22 million people getting vaccinated and prevent 250,000 hospitalizations. The usual six voted the way we would expect them to vote, the six right-wingers. At this point, Neil.
Just right-wingers, not Supreme Court justice. Mm-hmm. And she don't have faith in them. But we should have faith in Joy Reid. We should have faith and MSNBC, who is fair and balanced, right? Because, see, I didn't know that Joy Reid was a doctor. I didn't know she was an epidemiologist. I didn't know she was so abreast on constitutional law. I didn't know that. I mean, I thought she was just a commentator. I didn't know she went to school to learn about the Constitution maybe she would like to get in there and debate one of those smart folks that made that decision. That's why she's not a Supreme Court justice, because she wouldn't care about us. She wouldn't care about the law, just like she don't care about their decision. Instead, what does she do?
Christians, right-wingers, shine with the virus.
Might as well call them some racism, too. There we go. Let's see what else.
Have they not just simply stated by their actions that they are more in favor of right-wing politics, the kind of DeSantis-style right-wing politics, than they are in favor of saving lives?
They don't
really care.
Well, y'all hear that? That's how you handle stuff. You don't have a debate. You more. Now, do you think – I want you to understand this. So let's go ahead, put it in dumb person terms, okay? Supreme Court, they all break for a second to go talk about this. So what do you guys think? What do you guys think? All right. Well, since we got the majority and we're the conservatives, we're not going to do it because Ron DeSantis and the right wing don't want this to happen. Well, what about the lives we're saving? I don't care about that. I don't care about that. We don't mind folks dying. We simply want to agree with Ron DeSantis and the rest of those guys. Okay. Do you think that weighed into their decision? She just simplified it. She just summed it all up, and now she vomits this up on her network as if that conversation and it all played out just like that. In their heads, they were thinking, forget saving lives. Don't care if all kind of folks die. I'm just trying to be down with Ron DeSantis and all those dudes. That's why I'm doing this, spinning around in their chair. All of the dang on left wing slash liberal judges, would you guys get serious? Pay attention. Cry, baby, cry. Cry, baby, cry. That's what was going on in there, right? Boy, she's in there with Nancy. She's in there with Mad Max.
If this causes less people to die, clearly. At this point, Neil, it is hard to think of them as anything other than right-wing ideologues. They should all just have right-wing talk radio shows. They are not justices.
You are not a darn commentator. You're not. You're not. You're a race baiter. That's what you are. But you're not a commentator. But see, you think the tyranny just stops with her? Listen to this, y'all.
Happening to this
all right. The triple vax. Joint Chief Chairman Mark Milley, our favorite Mark Milley, tested positive for COVID yesterday. And who else? General David Berger, the Marine Corps Commandant, also.
Wait a minute, y'all. Milley Vanilli tested positive. So we are trying to get bullied into doing all this stuff. And folks that done had triple call, zipper licking, all that stuff, give me more. I want all the boosters you can give me. Give me that boots, and all of that. Are still getting it? I'm a little confused. I'm not seeing the benefit. However, Don Lamone weighed in on what he thinks should happen to all of those folks who disagree with the government shoving this down your throat.
This op-ed out of the Washington Post reads, Macron is right. It's time to make life a living hell for anti-vaxxers. And last night, CNN's Don Lemon added fuel to the fire by calling unvaccinated Americans idiots who should not be part of polite society. Let's watch.
We have to start doing things for the greater good of society and not for idiots who think that they can do their own research or that they are above the law and they can break the rules. Australia, Novak Djokovic, Australia said, no. We're going to look at the greater good of everyone in our society, and you're not part of that.
You're not part of that. That's why these people cannot be in power. That is exactly how they would rule. Let's go ahead, muscle you, take away stuff, do everything short of straight sending in troops to come in your crib and shove stuff right down your throat. And honestly, if they can get away with that, they would. This dude is supposed to be standing for the people, justice, freedom of choice. And here he is lining up somehow with tyrannical activities like what's going on in Australia. Has he looked? Has he, being a commentator, took a look down there at all that video footage that they're trying to suppress in Australia where they're coming up to people's cribs? Well, I ain't got no symptoms, mate. So take your butt to the camp, okay? For what? All right? I was back there throwing another piece of shrimp on the barbie, all right? We don't care about that. Get your tail down there in that camp. Maybe Don Lemon liked that. Yeah. Why aren't the Democrats looking down there at that video and they saying, man, this is not right? They were whining about the Haitians being whipped. They were whining about all these folks getting their families and kids ripped from them coming across our border. But they ain't got nothing to say about them Australians down there getting roughed up by the police. Mm-hmm. None of that. Okay. Why? Because they want that mess to come here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. Difference is Australia don't have that Second Amendment, y'all. And that's why they let it get rid of that, too. So y'all see what they up to, y'all. It's bad, man. Now, we got to get to something real quick here, okay? Because this right here is some new updated information. First, though, let me check and see what I got somebody with their hand up. Want to talk? Go ahead. Let's see who we got calling in. Kevin from Kevin's Corner. Let's see who we got. Caller. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, you're live on the air with Kevin from Kevin's Corner. Who am I speaking with?
This is Benny from Georgia.
Benny from Georgia. I got the theme song ready for you this time, brother. What's happening, man?
How you doing?
Man, I'm good, man. I'm good. Yeah, how about yourself?
Doing fine. You sounding real good tonight, man. Doing a good job as usual.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
What's going on down here? Talk to me.
Oh, well, I just wanted to comment on a general and all these other people who was fully injected, tested positive. You know, it's crazy. You know, I got my religious exemption at my job and everything like that. And but the persecution is strong, you know. The crazy rules that they try to put on the uninjected that they let stay. It's outrageous, and it's all designed to make us quit the job, or either make us go ahead and take it, all for something that don't work.
Right. Thank you.
All for something. It's amazing. And the whole time, all last year, since they was rolled out, you know. All the injected ones is infecting the whole site. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like,
but no one's
addressing the elephant in the room. They just say, hey, you know, such tested positive, and they're gonna be gone for a couple weeks. But no one except me and a few people will actually say, hey, you know, so and so is fully injected. I thought that, you know, so it's just crazy, man. And you got to be strong, man.
That's true. And you know what they're doing, Benny, is they're trying to say, well, even though people who are fully vaxxed got all these boosters, they might test positive, but the results and the symptoms are not as bad. Well, first of all, how do you even measure that? How do you know? But yeah, it ain't like they, you know, monitoring every single human that then caught this mess, you know, seeing how bad their symptoms are. But then secondly, what they're not accounting for is all of the people who have natural immunity that aren't even catching this stuff. The study just came back again showing that folks with natural immunity have a higher, you know, chance of not catching Omicron and the rest of that stuff. But they will downplay that stuff all to push us towards something that obviously is showing no benefit. So then my question becomes, if it's not benefiting the people, then who is it benefiting? Why do they keep pushing it if it ain't benefiting us? So you know it's benefiting somebody. We just got to figure out who and why. And, you know, we got a whole bunch of theories and beliefs on it. But, man, folks got to wake up, man. They got to use their common sense. And it just seems like, man, there's a shortage of them. So, Benny, down there in Georgia, man, you got to hang in there, brother. The struggle's real. They're trying to, you know, bully, shame folks, and back us into a corner. But I'm praying that in 2022, we take back the House and the Senate, and we can shut some of this mess down, man. With these Democrats having power in every area, it's tough. It's real tough, man.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but I want to encourage, you know, they're trying to, I seen something, they said that in the NASA bill, that they've got a NASA bill And the Democrats are trying to hide H.R. 1 inside the NASA bill. So check that. That's going to give all our the Electoral College away and give all power to the federal, to the Fed. So of our full voting process. So they're trying to hide it because H.R. 1 did not get passed. And so they're trying to hide it in a new NASA bill. So these are some demonic people, like you said, man. You just keep on keeping on, man, and trusting the Lord.
Thank you, man. Pray for us, Benny. I pray for you, man. God bless you, man. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, man. Appreciate you.
Hold on. Yep. Y'all hear that? Man, they corrupt, man. They corrupt. See, that's what they do. They'll slide that mess in somewhere else. And that's why you got to be so aware of who you're voting for, y'all. You can't just be sticking folks in there, man, that got some ill intent. So Trump came out. He talked about this fake, January 6th garbage. And then, of course, we all were there to witness this right here. And y'all remember this?
Conduct from the American People, as Cheney said, when...
How many FBI agents or confidential informants actively participated in the events of January 6th?
Hmm. Sir, I'm sure you can appreciate that I can't go into the specifics of sources and methods.
Did any FBI agents or confidential informants actively participate in the events of January 6th? Yes or no? Yes or no?
Sir, I can't answer that.
Did any FBI agents or confidential informants commit crimes of violence on January 6th?
I can't answer that, sir.
Did any FBI agents or FBI informants actively encourage and incite crimes of violence on January 6th?
Sir, I can't answer that.
Ms. Sadburn, who is Ray Epps?
I'm aware of the individual, sir. I don't have the specific background to him.
In fact, tomorrow, I don't even think they're going to be arrested. Let's go! I'm going to put it out there. I'm probably going to go to jail tomorrow. We need to go into the Capitol. Into the Capitol.
That's the picture, though.
When
he got called, that was funny about it. He tried to go ahead and walk that mess back by sliding in some peacefully at the last second. No! Peacefully! Like, that's going to make us all go, we thought he was a Fed until he said peacefully. Okay, but here's the Bigfoot.
Peacefully!
Yeah, look at all those young people at that church right there. Yep, helmets on. That doesn't look like Trump supporters. Every single one of those kids look like Antifa's right there. And then there they go, pushing those very gentle police officers right out the door.
Who is Ray Epps and what was his involvement? Well, I guess there's nothing more to question, because as we're seeing left-wing mainstream media outlets report, Ray Epps testified that he is not an informant or working for the FBI, January 6th committee says.
Well, then you got it. Now, here I am looking at this video footage of that big old Bigfoot, and I'm getting my palate wet, thinking we're going to get some justice. I'm like, man, come on, Liz Cheney. We want to get to the bottom of this. Come on, Adam. Come on, Schiff. Come on, Pelosi. We want to get to the bottom of this. Let's go Bigfoot hunting. That's what I'm thinking. And now we find out that Bigfoot was not involved. Huh. Tell me more about that, liberal hive mind.
Well, that pretty much wraps it up. Fact checkers from Snopes and PolitiFact report that there is no evidence that Epps is connected to any law enforcement agency. He testified to the committee that he had no involvement. And that pretty much wraps it up, folks. Give me a break. Nothing that the left is saying here makes any sense. Adam Kinzinger pushing their same narrative, which is about as paradoxical as it gets, in reference to Ray Epps writing, he was on video the day before January 6th saying, we're going into the Capitol. Saying the same thing on the day of, then followed up with, he hadn't entered the Capitol on January 6th and was removed from the most wanted list because apparently he broke no laws. Well,
excuse me. If I'm getting it straight, Adam, whatever his name is on the committee. He's the other rhino, right? Him and Liz Cheney. So if I'm getting this straight, he goes ahead, drops all of the damning information. They got all these other people thrown in jail. and indicted on these charges. He lists all of that according, you know, and basically saying that Bigfoot did all of this with the exception of going in. So therefore, he's exonerated. First of all, why are you defending the Bigfoot?
Well, I'm pretty sure, Mr. Adam Kinzinger, you complete doofus, you just contradicted yourself.
How?
Inciting a riot, according to federal laws, defined as acts of organizing, promoting, encouraging, participating in a riot, and urging others to riot. You know, it's kind of ironic because the January 6th committee's sole purpose is to pin basically this exact charge on Donald Trump, that Donald Trump himself incited the riot during his speech the day of, where he literally told people to peacefully protest, non-violently, outside of the Capitol, but somehow he's guilty of inciting an insurrection.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Ray Epps seems to have...
With his mind, y'all, mental telepathy. That's right. I was sitting way here in Youngstown in my corner. I was like, what? Trump, is that you? Okay, so let me get this straight. Don't listen to your actual words. What you really mean is go inside the Capitol. Okay, all right, we're going in. Versus the Bigfoot, who says, we got to go into the Capitol.
Broke no laws, and seems to have, interestingly enough, incited the events of January 6th, causing people to enter the Capitol, but then he himself had the foresight to not step into the Capitol, inciting other people to do it, riling up a crowd, and then not participating in it
Why
at all. That doesn't seem suspicious. No questions asked, folks.
What?
He testified before Nancy Pelosi's commission, and that pretty much wraps it. Like I keep saying, give me a break.
Yeah. The response to the
event. So now we got to get other people's take on it because see that I was scratching my head. See, this is how reasonable people think and see this. That's why I picked these clips right here. So check this out. First of all, I know this guy. He used to be I guess he's still an actor. Sound like he got an English accent, but lately he has been calling out some stuff. And he, you know, had a little video about the whole January 6th thing. And I really love his take. Let's check this out.
Events of January 6th has been marked by a crackdown on dissent, a dramatic increase in anti-protest bills around the country, including at least 88 that have been introduced since the Capitol riot, a massive build-up of the Capitol Police into a national force to target terrorism, as well as the rollout by the Biden administration of a sweeping domestic counter-terror strategy.
Uh-oh.
The vilification of people that have a different political perspective from you might seem enjoyable when you agree with it, but if it is used in order to bring about legislation that further empowers people in positions of authority, they will use that power however they see fit, and eventually it will not be to your convenience.
That's a smart dude, not just because of his accent, but because of the truth behind it. If you let people like that have power, okay, they will eventually use that power on you. So all of the knuckleheads who think that this whole push for basically a separate little squad to go after these white nationalists and these domestic terrorists and these white supremacists is just for them, you're an idiot. If you sit back and you give that the thumbs up, thinking it's only going to impact Trump and all of his MAGA folks, wait until your crew disagreement with the Biden administration. This dude's not even from America, but he sees the writing on the wall. He lives here now, I guess. So he understands. He's like, yo, I'm a citizen here. So I guess he's a citizen. I'm not sure. But the way he's talking about it, because he seems really like he's concerned about this. Like his rights are, you know, on the line. That's how I feel. When I hear them get on TV and start saying things like, all right, we have a new domestic terrorist division. We're going to be looking at extremism. Excuse me? What is that? What's that? Oh, extremism. People who love their country too much. People who don't disagree with rather. People that disagree with the authority. Excuse me? Who's in authority right now? Us. So let me understand. People who disagree with you, then you're saying that could be insurrection, domestic terrorism, all of that. So dangerous, y'all. We are living in some dangerous times.
Because in the end, you know, don't you, that the government operates in order to service the interests of powerful corporations supported by the media. So there might be a bit where you get the rush of, yeah, I don't like those people either. I think they're idiots. You know, whether you're a person that's in the BLM camp or in wherever you stand on social justice issues or whether you're a Trump supporter, it doesn't actually really matter. There's a centralized authority. They don't care about your stuff. Your stuff's irrelevant to them. They don't care about your flag. They operate at a level of global power that is beyond the reach of such trivial, petty alliances.
Woo! Y'all hear that? Petty alliances. Keeping it real. You know why? Because all of this crap that folks are tribalized over, you know what, those Trump supporters are the MAGA folks, all of that mess. While all of these people are focused on this crap, just like I listen to Nancy Pelosi, you think she cares about Martin Luther King? Just like we listen to Mad Max, just like we listen to Biden, all of them, you think they really care about these trivial matters? No, no. They're just designed to have you care about them. Create the perception that these are serious issues in your life, even though there's no real manifestation of the evidence of that. You're right. His name is Russell Brand. Yep. Yeah. No real manifestation of the evidence of it impacting your life. But you're out there fussing over voter rights that you have. 100%. Ain't never met a black person in your lifetime, most likely, if you are anything under 80 years old, perhaps. Probably ain't met nobody in your lifetime that said, man, I couldn't even vote. And yet, you got folks up there focused on that. And people really believe that that's what their real intent is. No, that is a means to an end. They're sitting back, that's why we're mad. for Martin Luther King and stuff. Now, let's get back to our evil diabolical scheme. That's what they're really up to. But this dude's keeping it real.
While establishment Democrats and commentators called for the many nonviolent January 6th participants to be harshly prosecuted, even charged with felony murder, some judges and prosecutors opted for leniency, acknowledging that the actions of many of the individual rioters often boiled down to trespassing, as Politico reported. Even FBI Director Christopher Wray noted that peaceful protesters and those who got swept up for committing low-level trespassing were the vast majority of the participants. Of course, you see...
So no wonder they were walking around looking dazed. No wonder. They were all looking around like, wow, man, this is cool. I've never been in the Capitol. Yeah, you got your camera on you? No wonder they look like that. So why are the Democrats fussing? Why are they running around talking about insurrection, domestic terrorists? Okay.
Similar reporting around BLM. Some people say, hold on a minute, look, all these shops are getting burnt down. Other people say, largely peaceful protesters. So, of course, what you have to have is a lens and rubric that does not alter dependent on the issue you're discussing. Obviously, we have a lot of strong feelings about the nature of the protest and the substantive message behind it. But the act of going to protest at the Capitol building, people demanding to get into the Capitol building, I think is something that people on the left should be able to relate to and identify with, says James Clark, a civil rights lawyer based in Austin, Texas. Especially after the George Floyd uprising, we should be extremely concerned about any expansion or legitimization of the federal government in cracking down and going after protest activity.
Bam! So let me get this straight, man, from England. I think that's an English accent. What you telling me is the rubric is different for the left than it is for the right? Now, being a former educator, you want to tick off all the kids? Tell them, you guys over there got to write a book report, 500 pages. And you guys over here, 200. See what happens. So the rubric then, and all of these folks that destroyed property, invaded buildings, broke in, burned down, all of those things, and all called it peaceful protests. The rubric for them is different. They should be supporting us breaking in there. They should all be like, that's right, that's just us. Of course, where in the heck is Fredo Cuomo? And who said protesting has to be peaceful? So all of a sudden, first of all, I don't believe that Trump supporters breached the Capitol. I believe that those folks right there in the front of that were Ray Epps whispered in there, all these whippersnappers were the initial breach. Secondly, even if it was, the rubric's different. Why is that? They didn't burn down no police station. They didn't try to burn up feds inside of a federal building like Antifa and Black Lives Matter did. So now the rubric's different. And this guy's pointing it out. But yet, all of these folks don't want to get to the bottom of this, y'all. Why not?
Why don't we agree that what we want is a different system and come together and forget about this triviality, because even though there are aspects of it are super, super important, it's not as important as the entrenched, immovable, corrupt systems of power that love it, that we're spending all our time quarrelling and quibbling over this, and in fact use it to introduce further legislation to prevent our feelings ever being represented at a democratic level.
My man knocked it out the park, because that's what it's designed to do. We don't like hearing from you guys. We don't like citizens trying to tell us what we can do and what we can't do. We don't like y'all calling out our corruption. We don't like y'all questioning our decisions. We don't like y'all peeping out are cheating that took place, okay? So, therefore, big tech, shut them down. Fake news, discredit them. Tech, after them. That's what it comes down to. Folks are so ignorant. They're setting these raggedy, corrupt politicians and leaders up to have complete, uncontested power. So, give them the green light to go after and label, no matter what it is, man. They can just pretty much make up whatever they feel is potentially a threat to the homeland. And then they can go ahead and start looking around in your account, checking out your text messages and stuff like that. Folks are dumb, man. It comes down to this, guys. We have to just be living in the last days, because folks have surrendered their common sense. This got to be stronger than just these corrupt Democrats, because they're so see-through. They're not smart. This is not one of them things where you got to really put a lot of effort and thought and go in undercover to figure out. All you got to do is listen to that FBI agent as Cruz was asking a simple question. Did any of your people break the law? I can't answer that. Did any of them tell folks to go ahead and commit violence? I can't answer that. So simple. You ain't even got to strain to understand that's corruption. They were involved in this. But now, here's a great discussion. I forget the name of this dude's show. Sometimes he feel like a nut, sometimes he don't. But they were on this time. So let's
talk about national security. Mm-hmm. So the big story that came out the other day was about the Oath Keepers being charged with seditious conspiracy.
Yes.
Something that's really interesting in this whole January 6th debacle is a man named Ray Epps. And
yes.
You guys at Revolver covered this to a great extent.
Yes.
We saw Tucker Carlson talked about it, and you have an article up. For those that aren't familiar, Ray Epps is this guy who's seen in multiple videos telling people to storm the Capitol.
Yes.
And the funny thing is, it is actually the right wondering why he's not being arrested and charged.
What?
Right. So we have this article from Revolver.News. Meet Ray Epps Part 2.
Now, isn't that crazy? Because remember, we're the insurrectionists. We're the insurrectionists. This man points out a great point. So all of my friends that was, man, you see your boy Trump, he insinuated all the people ran in. Trump made them all do it. They should all go to jail. Well, why not Ray Epps? I'm going, you're right. Let's go get that Bigfoot. Not him, though. Not him. Why not? I thought they were all white, right-wing, white nationalists, right? We want them all in jail, right? Let's start with the Bigfoot who said, and then they breached. Let's go get the Bigfoot who didn't even bother to go over to the rally. Didn't even bother. 2 days straight, I'm hanging out right outside the Capitol. I love Trump, though. Got the hat. See this? See the show? Got the hat on. But I'm not going to hear him speak. In fact, as soon as he gets done speaking, everybody, interesting. Why is the right demanding for that man to get arrested and the left isn't?
Damning new details emerge exposing massive web of unindicted operators at the heart of January 6th.
We need to go into the Capitol. Into the Capitol.
You hear that person go, what?
There's probably multiple people.
They start yelling fed at this
yeah.
guy.
Right.
So there's questions around this guy, notably that he was actually outside the Capitol as well, right?
Okay. Yes.
And he was saying something to somebody. He was seen in video saying this. And for some reason, it's not just that they haven't indicted him. It's that Adam Kinzinger on the January 6th committee actually publicly defended him.
Right.
Now, this dude is not a right. He has a very large YouTube channel, a panel of people. I think he has a lawyer that's about to expose some more information about this. Y'all ready for this? Now, he brings up a common sense issue. Why is Adam Singular, whatever his name is, that rhino defending him? That's a common sense question.
Who is this guy? What is going on with this?
That's a great question. And the video itself really tells the story. And so for any of your listeners, your audience, and I know you have an audience of, you know, the full political spectrum, I encourage everyone, if you're curious about what really happened on January 6th, take my challenge. Go to revolver.news, read this piece in particular, watch the video, and then look at me with a straight face, look at me in the eye and tell me that there's not something fishy here. I don't think anybody can, in good faith, meet that challenge.
So then why are the Democrats trying to do that in good faith? Why is Adam and Cheney and all of them sitting there going, there's nothing to see here? So you didn't see that Bigfoot? Now, I mean, we saw him. You don't think he needs to be brought in? Well, we talked to him already. You didn't capture him? No. But you did want to capture the old people and the guy with the horns and stuff. Yeah, they're all insurrectionists. Did you hear them saying, let's go into the Capitol? No. Did you hear them saying that, you know what, we got to go into the Capitol tomorrow. We might go to jail. Did you hear Granny say that? No. So you want to go get them and not the Bigfoot? Yeah. So the Bigfoot's innocent? Yep. No one finds that suspicious?
And so who is Ray Epps? Well, Ray Epps is the person we heard. Ray Epps is in the mountains of documentary video evidence of January 6th. He's the only person repeatedly calling and explicitly calling for this mission to go into the Capitol. The video that we saw was on January 5th, and he's going to all different types of groups with different agendas saying, we need to go into the Capitol. The Capitol is our enemy. The Capitol is what we need to do. And then he's not just some drunk guy who's just spouting off and you never hear from him again. He's there on January 6th. He's the veritable Where's Waldo figure. He's there telling the crowds, after the Trump rally, go to the Capitol where our problems are.
Now, good googly moo, Christopher Corrupt Ray. What are you doing? So if I'm getting this straight, 2 days in a row, this man was out there setting up camp. Tomorrow, we got to go into the Capitol. 2 days in a row, y'all. He's the only person. Trump didn't even say, go into the Capitol. Only person I heard. Only person they heard. Only person Christopher Ray heard. Only person Adam and Cheney and Pelosi and all of them heard on tape saying, go into the Capitol. So if he's not being found, and he's not being indicted, why are they trying to indict Trump? They're so corrupt. And the sad part, they'll probably get away with this, man. It burns me up.
And then at 12:53 p.m., by the way, this is as Trump was still speaking. So this guy, Ray Epps, who's such a big Trump fan, he's wearing his Trump hat. He flies all the way to D.C. from Arizona and skips the actual Trump rally in order to hang out at the Capitol and to orchestrate, evidently, the first and decisive breach of the Capitol barricades.
Which now, that's not suspicious. New evidence. See, I didn't even think about that. I'm mad. I got caught slipping on that one. So let me get this straight. Kev drives all the way from Ohio. Day before. I'm going to the Trump rally. Get up there. Don't even go. I go straight over to the Capitol. A whole day prior. All right, tomorrow, everybody, we're going to breach going into the Capitol. Then the next day, during the rally, I don't even go. I came all the way there to incite folks going into the rally. And they're not even looking for this Bigfoot. You see why I'm upset? As I sit back and I listen to this stuff, and then I see them get on TV and use this stuff to infringe upon our rights, to demonize us, to call us domestic terrorists, call us insurrectionists, and when it's so blatantly obvious that they're corrupt and overlooking this obvious right in our face. That should be the first question they should be asking Liz Cheney. They should be asking all of Christopher Ray. This is the only dude we saw saying, we got to go into the Capitol. Shouldn't he be public enemy number one?
Which is interesting, given what he was saying on January 5th. And so there he is on the right by the Capitol barricades, 12:53 p.m. He whispers into someone's ear. That person is called Ryan Samsell.
So we got his name? We got the name of the dude that he was whispering into the ear. Why isn't that dude in jail? Why isn't the dude who they got his name in the slammer with Bigfoot.
Slater, Sam.
Bigfoot and Littlefoot should be in the slammer.
M-Cell engages in the first breach. Pretty amazing. And in fact, there's other video of Ray Epps telling another individual, who also incidentally is not charged with anything. He said,
more?
When we go in, leave this here. When we go in, leave this here. And this, in this case, was a bear spray. So he's already anticipating people going into the Capitol.
See, these are questions that... I don't know what's wrong with the Republicans, man. I watched Ted Cruz. He was talking to Michael Knowles today. And Michael Knowles is asking, like, man, will you ever get to the bottom of this? Well, we'll try if we gain back the House and the Senate. All we can do is just subpoena them, but, you know, the FBI might dismantle. Time to dismantle these organizations. When you can go back, get the power of the House and the Senate, and yet the FBI can still say, can't answer that. Then what you left with? That right there becomes a stalemate. If they say to you, can't answer, and you go, well, we got oversight. You're supposed to answer. Well, we're not. Now what? What you going to do? That agency has become too powerful. And if the person who can check that agency, which is the president, is using that agency to do this, that's a problem. And that's where we're at. We are at that point right now that FBI and the rest of the DOJ and all of them are confident because they understand the people that wield the power were not actually disciplining them. There's more.
And fulfilling this mission that he was calling for the night before. And so the amazing thing about Epps is in the midst of all of these random grandmas and random people who are being slammed with the most draconian charges imaginable for
that.
Basically nothing, many people wallowing away in solitary confinement indefinitely, this guy, Ray Epps, is untouched. He's uncharged. He's unsearched. Nobody wants him. And
now, isn't that peculiar? The biggest dude there in that crowd, not just in size, but in mouth, into the Capitol. We got to go into the Capitol. Ain't hard to find. The committee said they've already talked to the dude. We got his name, and yet we got grandmas and old people and dudes with walkers and stuff all being brought up on sedition charges. And the main dude, nobody wants to find him. It's a dark day in our country, y'all. I mean, it really is. They have reached a level of hubris that is on a whole nother scale. This is that in-your-face corruption. What you going to do about it? We saw him. We know he's there. And we took him off the FBI list. So what you going to do? Huh? What? Republicans going to check us? I mean, get out of here with that, man. So was there any FBI people that... Nope. There's more. There's more.
Until Ray Epps essentially became a household name on the basis of our reporting, you know, there was zero interest. Now we're told, okay, shut up about Epps.
Yeah.
Epps spoke to the January 6th committee. He says he's not a Fed. Go back to what you were doing.
Maybe he's not a Fed. I don't know or care. I can tell you this. Whatever it is, the story of Ray Epps, whoever he is, maybe he's not a criminal informant, maybe he's not a Fed, maybe he's just some guy, he has completely discredited the entire January 6th committee narrative for one reason. Adam Kinzinger, who's on the committee, who's retiring from Congress, by the way, said on Twitter on January 11th that Epps was on video the day before saying, quote, we're going into the Capitol. Yet he goes on to say that he never went in the Capitol and therefore... You know, he cooperated and his name was taken off the most wanted list.
Just like that. So let me get this straight. He is the only person saying going in. The committee so-called interviews him. I'm not a Fed. Oh, whew, thank heavens. Whew, that was a close one. We thought you were. Okay. And yet, because he said that and because he cooperated, he was taken off the list. Nobody else cooperated. You mean to tell me that white girl who came 40 minutes late into the Capitol and then gave all the information she needed to the Capitol police and stuff and came and turned herself in, she wasn't cooperating? Did they have to bust down her door and drag her out of the house? She was just a surprise, too. How about the dude with the horns when he was sentenced to 4 years? I mean, he looked confused. What? Wait a minute. 4 years for what? I'm on video saying peacefully. Whereas Ray Epps is on video saying, we got to go into the Capitol. Corrupt, man. They are at that point where I know I might get there. You never know. Cass from Cass Corner might be snatched up one day. But the fact that they are this blatantly corrupt, that means they got to go. And when I say that, I ain't talking about overthrowing no government. When we get someone in power with integrity, they need to go in and bust that mess up. Because they have grown bigger than the people. See, that's a problem. When they don't have to answer some obvious questions like that, questions that they should be able to answer right off grip. Did y'all incite violence? Nope. That's what it should have been. Did you have anyone in there that committed violence? Nope. That's what it should have been. But when you're saying, can't answer that. Man, this is bad. This is all bad.
Okay, their claim is that Donald Trump incited an insurrection, but Donald Trump never even went that far. Right. They're claiming that Donald Trump said, we got to be strong and we're going to fight. That was enough.
Right.
If it's not in any way an infraction or criminal activity to right. tell people overtly on more than one occasion to enter the Capitol, then right. what is their claim against Donald Trump in this
case? Right, and the negligence with respect to Epps does not exist in a vacuum. The most compelling thing about this that really points to some explanation, like he was a Fed, is the selective non-prosecution. To compare the neglect of Epps in relation to the severe charges against much more minor people for far less egregious offenses in relation to January 6th. So it doesn't make any – for instance, Ray Epps says to one individual who said, when we go in, leave this here. Well, there was another individual called George Tanios, okay. who was originally charged with basically conspiracy to murder an officer on the basis of when his friend was asking, let me have the bear spray. He said, no, no, not yet. On the basis of saying, no, no, not yet, they charged him with serious charges. And yet Epps is saying, when we go in, leave this here. And nothing. Clearly showing.
This infuriates me. And I'm not even one of these people who are lives have been destroyed over this. I'm not even one of those people. I'm mad that these folks are abusing their power on American citizens like this. And I'm not even mad just because it impacts, say, us. If they were doing this to Black Lives Matter, Antifa, or anybody, any American citizen, if they're being treated unfairly and unequally, according to the law, I would be just as mad. See, that's the difference. Conservatives usually support the law. We usually support law agencies. But for some reason now, we are, you know, skeptical of them because they have destroyed our trust. It is very hard to support an agency that the whole existence of it is supposed to be to uphold the law equally. And when that's violated, only folks that support the law and believe in law and order are going to be the ones that can recognize that mess. You got rebels who want to just tear it down for the sake of tearing it down. When you have conservatives that say, man, we support police, we support our military, we want to support our FBI, and I'm sure there's most of them are good people. But it's these dudes up at the top that has been so corrupted that now conservatives are the ones that's going, what is going on here? I'm suspicious. I'm concerned. You're treating these folks differently than these folks. Why? So now somebody is about to get brought up on charges over some bear spray as an attempt to kill a cop. What was you going to do? Spray his eyes to death? And yet Antifa goes in and tries to burn folks alive and nothing. Cops shot, cops ambushed, cops attacked, cops beaten by them, nothing. And somebody just said something about some bear spray. Not yet. He's being brought up on some conspiracy to kill a cop. Ray Epps gets nothing. See?
Yeah. He had planned
right.
the entrance.
Right, right. Following through with the fact that the last night he was saying go into the Capitol and leading, and he's whispering in the guy's ear 2 seconds before the initial breach. And they don't want him. And another interesting detail that's in the Revolver piece is that initially the FBI put him on their most wanted list. He was originally so important to them that he was one of the 20 people considered you know, egregious enough that, okay, we're going to put him on the most wanted list. They begged the public. They said, help us identify this man, Ray Epps. The internet, being the amazing sort of crowdsource investigative vehicle that it is, identified this guy within days, and the government had no interest. And the only time they took action on Epps was the day after Revolver News published an extensive report on his fellow Oath Keeper, Stuart Rhodes, the day after.
And Epps is an Oath Keeper.
He was.
So wait, folks put in some legwork, found that Bigfoot, brought him to y'all on a silver platter, and y'all was like, oh. Thanks. We'll take it from here. And nothing. And then Ray Epps was an Oath Keeper, I hear. So let's hear about this.
Was a president. He was a president of the Arizona chapter of the Oath Keepers. And so the day after Revolver...
Hold on, sorry. When did he leave the Oath Keepers?
That I don't know.
Because the Oath Keepers, 11 of them are being charged with seditious conspiracy.
Yes.
So let me understand. 11 Oath Keepers charged with sedition and conspiracy, but the president of the Oath Keepers chapter in Arizona gets nothing. Did y'all know that? I didn't even know the Bigfoot was the president of the Oath Keeper chapter in Arizona. But the Bigfoot got nothing. And yet 11 of his buddies did.
Here you have a guy who was in the Oath Keepers, overtly saying down to the Capitol, and he's not. It's not just that they're not charging him. I don't know why any of that's going on. It's that Adam Kinzinger is actively downplaying what he did, and I don't know why.
If there's an innocent explanation for the Epps issue, in particular, because he was originally on the FBI's most wanted list, and they quietly took him off and didn't want to hear from him again. And in fact, the only additional remark they had on him before this blew up on a national scale was Phoenix FBI agents denying knowledge that he even exists, which is remarkable because he's from Arizona.
So maybe another organization hired this guy to go ruffle some feathers. The FBI didn't know, so they put him on the most wanted. When they pulled him in, the other agency came and was like, hey, this is our guy.
That is a very plausible scenario.
So now you see how folks are trying to think through this right here? This is what the FBI should be doing. This is what Adam Kinzinger should be doing, and Liz Cheney and Pelosi. They should all be sitting in the room discussing this just like this. Like, so wait a minute, hold on. If he's not a part of the FBI, then how'd he end up there? Why ain't the FBI going after him? Why was he taken off the list? Why did he come all the way from Arizona, didn't even go to the Trump rally? Why did he spend two whole days talking about somebody got to go into the Capitol and nothing's happening? All these questions. That's what the committee should be doing. No wonder Jim Jordan's not on there. No wonder real deputy dogs aren't on that committee.
It's entirely possible that he's giving them everything they wanted. You know, at first they were like, who is this guy, find him? And then
maybe,
he gave them something substantive.
I wonder what he would have given them because, you know, he was the most egregious player there. So who would he be giving up? That's the question I would have.
So that eliminates that one. Yeah, I know they're trying. I know they're trying to just talk through it and say, you know what, let's look at some possibility. Maybe this. But that don't even make sense. Who are you giving up when you were the ringleader? Who are you trying to finger or say this person's responsible for putting this together when everyone pointing at you said, this dude told us to go in? So the only person you can give up is me. Yeah, this dude, all he can do is say I was the one on video saying, yeah, we got to go into the Capitol.
Maybe he had Oath Keeper communications. And they said he can provide encrypted communications and access to their whole network because he was a president, but he wants immunity. And they said, deal. The problem is, look, Adam Kinzinger comes out and he's like, this is a conspiracy theory. Not only is he not an agent, he's not even an informant, and he never went in the building. And I say to all that, Adam, you are correct. You are also correct when you say that by yelling at people to go into the building, he did not incite an insurrection. So the point is, it's not a crime. They can drop all the Trump stuff, and they can now, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Madison Cawthorn, all of these Republicans who they're accusing of incitement.
Yeah.
Nope. Sorry. By Kinzinger's own words, that's all done with.
So all the folks who never said a word, never said go in, never did this, Trump ain't on there saying any of that. The man who said exactly what they're accusing Trump of inspiring, not saying, inspiring. The folks in the Republican Party who they are alluding to that you really inspired this, you motivated this. We just heard Mad Max, that president
is up. He says things in his words, make people want to go in, and then he get
all of that. We just heard all of that garbage. And yet the man who was very to the point, he wasn't mincing words. It was straight up, go in. And they don't even want to find this dude.
This is an interesting situation because it does, you know, suggest that there was some kind of federal involvement here. I mean, obviously, we're going to find out through the Oath Keepers court case that's going to be happening very soon.
I doubt it. If they are that bold to where they took this man off the list and then you get politicians coming out and defending him, I'm pretty sure they done weighed that too. So out of nowhere, they just decide we're going to go ahead and drag some folks in and charge them because everybody is wondering why are the Democrats running around saying insurrection, but nobody was charged with it. So they drag in 11 dudes or people, charge them with that. They know it's going to go to court. So they got a plan somewhere. They might just say, we ain't telling you. Methods and sources and methods and stuff.
There was, you know, someone that released information if someone gave them something. But again, there's also something that's odd about the timing of the U.S. government going after the Oath Keepers all the way up until now, almost a year after this entire incident. It raises a lot of questions. It raises a lot of important questions, especially surrounding the pipe bomber that placed pipe bombs all throughout Washington, D.C. the day before. There's a lot of different theories about this to why this happened, but that story came and went extremely quickly. No one's talking about it. That guy or girl was never found, and they were responsible for setting up bombs all over Washington, D.C. Why isn't this a bigger story, especially in a surveillance state in Washington, D.C. that has security cameras almost everywhere? How does that make sense?
And the remarkable thing is that it seems like the FBI does these sort of fake gestures of, you know, calling on the public to help them find person in this sort of full-on surveillance state, as you point out. It's the same thing as like when they initially called on the public to identify Epps. It's clearly disingenuous because the internet identified him and they did nothing with it.
Now, I was thinking about this, guys. So you have someone who was planting bombs. You would think the person who potentially was trying to blow up folks, the media would be talking about that. You would think they would be going, we must find this white nationalist that was about to blow up all these people. But yet, they don't even want to find him. Why isn't that? Why aren't they pressing the FBI or the Democrats to go find this mysterious pipe bomber? See, because my thought, if he was a real white nationalist on the loose that planted bombs, we'd hear about this until he was found. Don Lemon will be on every day. See, right now, this organization, they won't find the pipe bomber. They're just letting white nationalists run loose with bombs and stuff. We'd hear Joy Reid on TV every day. Has anybody found the white nationalists with the bombs? Huh? Who knows? See, Trump said he probably hide them out in Trump's basement. But nobody wants to find a potential bomber. The news wants to focus on the dude with the horns. Why aren't y'all pressing them to go find that pipe bomber?
And similarly, in this pipe bomb case, which is very interesting for a number of reasons, in the pipe bomb case, they provide to the public just very limited, grainy, ridiculous video. And we know for a fact they have more video because the video itself is not continuous. We know that there are more cameras in the area. We know that there's better resolution stuff. And so it's just not a genuine effort on the part of the feds to identify this person.
So I kind of wanted to ask you, and I don't know if it's fair to go off into the realm of speculation, but there's some people assuming that the pipe bombs were placed there in case the, you know, the people wouldn't storm the Capitol, and that was used as another pretext. That some people are
now, honestly, that right there is not a bad theory. Now I want to let y'all know that's a theory. If you think like the villain, and if you think like the hero, if I was the villain,
if I was Nancy Pelosi,
and I wanted to create a narrative that Trump inspired basically an insurrection and terrorism, what happens if all those folks that was listening to Ray Epps would have said no and never went in? What happens if only Antifa would have went in and the rest of the folks wouldn't have just kind of meandered in? Your narrative would be destroyed. So a backup narrative could be, well, we also found bombs planted I mean, obviously, they were trying to blow us up while we were in there. Yeah, but instead, it's like, okay, good, good. They went in. So table the bombs. Table that for now. Interesting. That would be a nice backup. I see where you're going with that. What do you think, though, buddy?
Arguing and speculating that, of course, we don't have any evidence. But Darren, how would you speculate everything unfolded in Washington, D.C. on that day? How do you think things went down from your perspective?
Well, that's an interesting question. In relation to the pipe bomb in particular, there are a number of possible explanations. One is simply that the bombs were there as certainly it makes for a scary headline that, you know, feeds into the narrative that the media wants, but also it was had a diversionary function too, because the Capitol already had limited security personnel, and when they called in the pipe bombs, the law addressed the pipe bombs basically contemporaneously, coincidentally enough, with that first breach that Ray Epps was involved in. So that's
So
wait a minute. So they claim they knew about the pipe bombs before the breach, right? And yet, what happened? So they still didn't, they couldn't fight the breach. Everybody went in. Hold on, let me see something.